Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a podcast of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, hosted by Melissa Burney. Today's cities face many challenges in the areas of safety, emissions, accessibility, and congestion. Detroit's Next Energy believes innovation is an important mechanism to proactively address these challenges and to identify opportunities for new business models. Next Energy has developed a national competition, Next Challenge Smart Cities, which focuses on accelerating connected, interactive, and data-driven solutions in advanced energy and mobility that addresses the needs in urban areas. Through this challenge, innovations will be demonstrated that create more efficient places for people to live and work and that have a lower impact on the environment. Joining me today is Gene Rudfield, CEO of Next Energy, to discuss the competition, a webinar to learn more about the competition, and the difference the submitted innovations will likely make in urban communities. Gene, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate the opportunity.
You are very welcome. I'd like to first start by talking a bit about Next Energy, what it is, what is its purpose, and who does it serve?
Sure. Well, Next Energy is a nonprofit organization located here in Midtown Detroit, and our purpose is to drive investment and support job creation and job retention in advanced energy and transportation technologies. But we kind of think of it even bigger than that, just driving investment. We think about our work as in terms of how it changes how we all live and move, because at the core of how we live, energy, and move, transportation, the technologies are changing rapidly, and Next Energy is right in the mix. In terms of who we serve a whole variety of different stakeholders. Of course, we work directly with small companies, research teams, and those direct clients are served with our services and our access to funding and a bunch of support to help them grow faster and have opportunities to prove out their technologies through proof of concept pilots and demonstrations, much like what the Next Challenge is going to bring. But in addition to the small companies we serve directly, we also serve our government and philanthropic funders who are really interested in the economic impact as well as the triple bottom line environmental and equity impacts that advanced energy and mobility solutions can bring. And then our large industrial partners are served because we can help them access sort of the innovation pipeline a little bit differently than they would do themselves. When we're able to work with technologies at a much earlier stage than most of the large OEMs and Tier 1 suppliers or the utilities would ever see. And by working with them at that early stage, really help them accelerate down the commercialization timeline so they're ready sooner for those partnerships with existing industry partners.
Wow, so you have quite a scope of people that you reach.
Sure. I mean, we provide a number of services to the startups. We connect that startup innovation community to the established market leaders so that they have access to innovation that they maybe wouldn't be able to access on their own. And then we provide some of the wraparound services and access to funding so the whole thing goes smoother and faster than if we weren't involved in the commercialization process at all. So we kind of have this economic development mission, innovation and entrepreneurial services mission, but ultimately it's about changing how we live and move through energy and transportation.
So you mentioned that you're located in Detroit. I'm kind of curious, how far does your influence reach? You mentioned, you know, helping the government, some other like small businesses, enterprise businesses. Can you tell us, does the impact of the work that you are doing extend nationally or international? And if so, can you tell us why?
Sure. We kind of have this funny geography. Our feet are here in Michigan, but our markets are global. The markets that we that our companies' technologies go into are truly global. So our potential is a global impact, both in the sense of where our local companies' technologies start, because a number of our startups, their first markets are actually not in the U.S. I mean, believe it or not, the U.S. market for energy, our energy is very ubiquitous, very reliable, and very cheap. In places where it's less available, less reliable, and much more expensive, some of these early technologies have better value. And so a number of our startups, their first markets are overseas. They're in island nations where electric production is very expensive. They're in developing villages where infrastructure hasn't reached them yet, so they truly are off-grid. And much like the cell phones leapfrogged landlines, we see distributed generation and microgrids leapfrogging the large institutional electric utility grids that we have in the developed world. So global reach in terms of our startups. We also have a global reach in terms of the companies that come here to Michigan to access technology. We regularly have visitors from Europe and Asia that are here to better understand what's available here and how to work with the companies here. And then on a national scope, we participate in a number of national programs, predominantly through the Department of Energy, where we connect innovation pipeline teams from the national labs in the universities and other tech incubators across the country to the partnerships and programs that we have here. So very local impact in terms of helping local companies grow, national importance in terms of building a national network of services and assets, and then global impact both in terms of the companies that come here from around the globe and the companies that start here but have their first markets in developing world or overseas markets. So as I say,
that's
we have
impressive.
Our feet in Michigan, but our impact is all over the world.
That's a really impressive impact, which then leads me to your personal background. You've had leadership roles with DTE Energy and consulting work at McKinsey & Company. How did you come to Next Energy, and what made you decide to make the transition to a nonprofit?
Well, that's kind of a longish story. I joke with my colleagues here about my checkered past. But I came to Detroit back in the mid-90s after working with McKinsey, which is a global consulting firm. And with McKinsey, I had the opportunity to work in India, in Brazil, in Europe, and North America on issues around industries that were undergoing major change. You know, big dislocations or changes in regulatory environment that were really changing the game in terms of redefining winners and losers. And the energy industry was starting down that path. And so I got very interested in the energy industry. So when I came to Michigan, I started at DTE. And my thought there was really, you know, how can you have any more impact than changing the way that energy is produced, energy is distributed, energy is priced, because energy is at the heart of everything we do. You know, it enables our standard of living. It's an input to everything that we produce, and it's of input to everything that gets moved. So the energy industry was hugely exciting and attractive to me. And I spent a bunch of years at DTE really working on some of their new business models and overall strategy issues. And ended up actually starting up some companies within the DTE family. And that was, you know, that I think that was where I got the innovation and entrepreneurship bug. But all the companies that I started up, we ended up shutting down because the markets really didn't evolve fast enough for a growing business. And then I left DTE and went into, my husband and I own a manufacturing firm, Ford Cell Machine Products. And so I went into our manufacturing firm for a handful of years and worked in partnership with my husband to really reinvent Ford Cell. Ford Cell was a very traditional screw machine operation, and we knew we needed to be an advanced manufacturing company with global capabilities if we were going to survive. And so I did a number of major strategic projects at Ford Cell, and that got me back into that global marketplace, particularly interested in manufacturing processes and manufacturing capabilities. So while I was at Ford Cell, one of my old former colleagues from DTE called me about the possibilities here at Next Energy. And that just really excited me because it was back to energy, but with some experience with entrepreneurship and some experience with advanced manufacturing on a global basis. So that's how I ended up at Next Energy. It sounds systematic now in terms of building skills, that are relevant to what I do. But at the time, it just seemed like reasonable next steps. And so came to Next Energy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it sounds like a fascinating journey. I'm sitting here going like, wow, you've had some tremendous experiences that have led you to where you are today, and just that vision. So being entrepreneurial-minded, the ability to adapt and learn, especially in what I have to believe is a male-dominated field, or what we think is a male-dominated field. So to be able to go and experience all these different cultures and bring all of that learning back to where you are today, it sounds like just an amazing journey.
Oh, it has been. And, you know, I'm really interested in the how can we impact change, and how, and with the experience of working in developing markets, in developing countries, working and traveling, seeing the possibilities for changes in standards of living and quality of life that fundamental inputs like energy and mobility can make is, to me, really exciting.
It sounds really exciting. What we're really here to talk about today is a new competition that Next Energy has recently launched called Next Challenge Smart Cities. Can we start with having you give us a general overview of the competition, its purpose, the geographic area from where people can apply, and then the types of applicants you're targeting and what they can expect to win?
Sure. Next Challenge is really an ongoing program that we developed through our understanding of the commercialization of energy and transportation technologies. We were founded back in 2002, so we have a long history, longer than a lot of accelerators and incubators have. And a couple of things that we knew at the time around energy and transportation. One is that they have really long timelines to market, because of the asset intensity, you know, how capital intensive the industries are, how risk averse the industries are because of the capital intensity and the important role that their products play. I mean, both energy and transportation, they are fundamental to our way of life, and the products kill people. So with those two drivers, really important as underlying our way of life and our overall economy, both energy and transportation technology or transportation products, but also the potential to do a lot of harm if they're not reliably developed and distributed, creates a sort of a long timeline and risk-averse sort of decision-making for incorporating new technologies. So knowing that that was the case, we've done a lot of work to really understand where are the leverage points where certain kinds of services or certain kinds of investments can help make a difference. We discovered or came to convince ourselves that that early proof of concept phase, where folks get to try their technology maybe for the first or second time in the existing system, the energy grid or a car, is a really important step to commercialization. But it's one that's really hard for the average technology provider to get to, because the procurement decision-making process of the utilities and the car companies isn't really amenable to the risk-taking that proof of concept work requires. So Next Energy Center was really developed as a living lab demonstration center to allow technologies to get into those systems sooner than they would through a normal procurement or engineering design process. And the Next Challenge series of technology challenges were designed to actually accelerate both the visibility of the assets available for demonstration support, as well as the access to funding that those early pilots and demonstrations need. So it was really a way to get that early proof of concept phase visible to technology providers and established industry partners, funded through the prize money, and then curated so that we can actually do the matchmaking between the best ideas around the country or the world to the unmet market needs that the established players are defining. So the way the Next Challenge works is typically an industry partner defines an unmet technology need, something that they don't have in their innovation pipeline but they think is important for their product or market. So they define that sort of unmet need, and we help with literally curate solutions teams that can provide technologies to meet that need. And so Next Challenge is really defined around a handful of verticals in smart cities technologies, mobility, smart building, smart energy, et cetera. And we'll be curating on a global basis for this particular Next Challenge, where anybody in the world can submit a concept paper in response to those to the five verticals defined as those unmet market needs. And so we're really targeting anybody that thinks they have a great solution. And then what they can expect to win is some coaching and support so they can actually communicate their technology in a way that the market can understand it. They get in front of these potential industry partners, and then the winners, there'll be one $80,000 prize that'll go towards actually funding the demonstration. So they'll get an opportunity to actually build their product or deploy their technology with a project partner from industry. In addition, we'll have another $20,000 available in prize money for up to five additional winners, and that those funds will go probably not as far towards demonstration, but will help keep those technologies moving further than they would without the prize money. So that kind
that
of gives you
like
a sense
an awful
of
lot
what
of
the Smart City
there.
Challenge is about. I'm sorry?
I said that sounds like an awful lot of moving parts there, a lot of the competition coming in globally, people that are going to be talking about ideas, some substantial cash to get people started.
Yeah,
it
is a lot of moving parts, and it kind of got invented after participating in a number of regional and national business competitions that are pretty typical in the innovation and entrepreneurial community. And what we saw about the business competitions is typically the winners were the most polished pitches but weren't necessarily the best technology solutions all the time. And so we thought, wait a second here. We really need to think about a different approach to the competition. It's not about the polished pitch about your potential business. It's about the specific way your technology is going to meet an unmet market need. And then you can figure out what the business model and your potential growth market or path to growth can be. But if you never can prove out how your technology solution works, your pitch is just your pitch. And so the Next Challenge was kind of created by participating in those business competitions and seeing specifically for energy and mobility technologies, that without the ability to prove it out in a real-world system and a real-world setting, it's really hard to get it into the market. And so that's what the Next Challenge is about.
I like how you're looking at it, too. So as you mentioned, you know, a pitch at the end of the day is just a pitch. But if you can take an idea or a concept that's solving a problem, and that's the best product to put energy into, I really like how you're thinking that through.
Yep. You know, when people talk about with the business competition pitch that it needs to be focused on a value proposition, so, you know, technically they're also about solving a problem, but we're taking it to another level in terms of the specificity at which the tech solution is going to be solving problems. It'll be a real demonstration in a real-world setting.
Very nice. Let's talk about some of the specifics of the challenge, such as, are there requirements to enter? What are the deadlines that are part of the competition process? What are you looking for in entries that will move successfully through the phases? So we've kind of talked about that a little bit. And then who are some of your sponsors?
Sure. Requirements to enter is you really, the only requirement is you have to be over 18 years of age. If you are an actual company, that helps, but even if you're in a research mode and maybe you haven't formed a company yet, you can still enter. The eligibility requirements and the what you need to enter, the best way to understand those is just to go to our website, which is nextenergy.org, and then /next challenge. And at that website, you'll see eligibility requirements, you'll see what's involved with the competition. The first phase of the competition is a concept paper that is due July 28th at 11:59 p.m. and there's an outline of what the concept paper should address. In addition, we'll be having a webinar next week, June the 9th at 1:30, and you can register for the webinar on the same website, where you'll learn more about the specifics of what it takes to compete through the Next Challenge competition. In terms of what are we looking for entries moving successfully through the process, clearly it's about innovation, really great new ideas. We're looking for total solutions, so the idea of bringing partners in with you that may offer the full package versus just your little slice of a solution, that's a really important part too. If you have a great algorithm for optimizing the distribution of energy on a grid, but you don't have a way to design the customer interface, that's not a complete solution. That's just a technology. So bringing that solution team into the process with you is helpful, although we can provide some support on that if you don't have a full team. In terms of the sponsors in the next challenge, the lead sponsor is Wells Fargo Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of the Wells Fargo Bank. And they're very interested, particularly in building technologies, but they recognize all of the smart cities technologies matter for their future customers and their own banking business. And then DTE Energy, our local utility, is a sponsor. And Denso, which is a tier one auto supplier to the auto industry here, but in their home country of Japan, it provides a whole host of advanced technologies, many of which are oriented towards buildings and the energy grid. And so Denso is also a sponsor for the Smart City Challenge.
Very nice. So if I'm understanding you correctly, it seems that you're really looking for this competition to jumpstart innovations in urban centers to develop solutions to urban center-type problems. Can you explain to our audience what smart city technologies are and what types of projects and technologies we might be talking about in a little bit more depth?
Sure. Examples of smart city technologies are things like, smart infrastructure, having things like the lighting systems that are smart enough to know when there's an outage in the lighting area that may actually dim down and become brighter based on the activity around the lights. They might actually be part of a security or communications network in addition to just lighting. So that's an example of a set of smart infrastructure. Smart mobility are things like smart parking, where I may have the capability to understand what parking's available, how expensive is it, how long can I stay there, maybe even schedule and pay for my parking arrangements while I'm planning my trip. Multimodal smart mobility options are things that literally bring together the private sector, rideshare, last mile, first mile solutions with public transit options, so that I can on any given day give my two endpoints and have the handful of ways that I can get from point A to point B, and a good understanding of both the time and the money it takes to go from point A to point B. So take an example here in the city of Detroit. Someday we'd like to be able to know not just how where the red spots are on the highways when we're in our car driving, but literally, if I took a bus rapid transit option from the park and ride nearest my house all the way down to a ball game, and then figured out where that bus rapid transit stop ends, whether I get on the People Mover or M1 to get to Comerica Park, and then how that what the fare would be for that, how much time it would take me to do it. When I got out of the ballpark, understand, am I better off going for a extra snack and a drink in a local restaurant or getting back on the M1 to get back to my bus rapid transit stop to take the bus back out to my suburban park and ride. So, those are some of the smart multimodal type technology solutions that are yet to be developed and invented for here in Detroit, but pieces of it exist in other cities around the world. Other examples are smart building technologies that give me the ability to monitor in real time how much energy am I using. Can I back off on my cooling in order to avoid a peak power event? Can I harvest daylight and turn my LED lighting down because I actually have enough lumens from the work that that my folks are doing at various points throughout the office building? So I literally have an active building that knows who's in it, what their needs are in terms of comfort and lighting, and is actually managing that in the background in order to optimize the energy use and peak events in the building. So all of those are the kinds of smart technology ideas that we're hoping we'll learn more about and bring some exciting inventors to Detroit to talk about.
Do you have any insights on Michigan cities that are already implementing some type of these inventions in their cities? And if so, what might those areas be?
Oh, sure. There are smart technologies in all over Michigan. I mean, City of Detroit, there's the Smart America Challenge, which was a White House fellowship initiative that started back in 2013. Detroit-based pilots were actually part of the first year's demo days. In Rock Ventures Real Estate, that we have had a pilot where three different floors in the same building with the same tenant, so basically the same needs in terms of office building, office users. One floor was outfitted with pretty standard energy and lighting technologies. One floor was outfitted with direct current networks, and one floor was outfitted with direct current and an active management system. And those three floors' energy use was monitored, and both the occupants and the building management staff could understand sort of what were the energy savings, what was the level of satisfaction of the occupants in terms of both comfort and lighting. And all of in the third floor, where the DC power systems and the active management solutions were being used, that was definitely smart technologies being used. So there are smart parking technologies in the casinos, where you can literally see where there are available parking spaces. Some of the LED lighting in parking garage is controlled through smart technologies, where they can literally sense movement and power up when there's somebody passing through and power down when there isn't. DTE Energy and Consumers Energy both have consumer-facing apps, so folks can actively monitor their energy use from their smartphones, so they can maybe reschedule when their cooling is going to start, because normally their thermostat is set to start their cooling at 5 o'clock so that when they get home at 6 o'clock, their home is cool. And they decided that they're going to go out to dinner, and so they want to reschedule it so that they don't have to turn their air conditioning on maybe at all, or maybe not till 7:30, 8 o'clock when they expect to get home from dinner. Those are the kinds of things that you can do through your smartphone apps. So there's a variety of things already in our cities. What we're excited about with the next challenge, Smart Cities, is really stepping up both the ideas and the visibility of the ideas on what's possible.
What can we do here in Michigan to put our state at the forefront when it comes to developing these types of technologies and also in getting other municipalities in our state to implement them?
Well, there's a couple things that we can do. First, we're actually already at the forefront for a number of smart connected technologies. The work around connected vehicles and autonomous vehicles, Michigan is already a leading-edge state in the range of technologies. Of course, we compete with a couple other regions of the country, but when you actually add up the amount of R&D that goes on here and the PhD and engineering graduate scientists working in the space here, we're a top three market. And in some cases, we're tops, depending on the specific metric that we're using. So we already are a real center for smart technologies, particularly as it relates to mobility. We don't talk about us that way. I mean, we have over 375 R&D centers that serve the automotive industry. And a car is the smartest consumer device we have. It's got more lines of code than the old spaceships had. So the engineers that design and develop those products are already here in Southeast Michigan with the 375 R&D centers located here. So we are a leader there. But in terms of what more we could do, one is we can talk about it more and do a little bit more celebrating the capabilities that we do have here, because most people think of us as metal benders, when in fact we're pretty significant coders here in Michigan. The second piece that we could do is work more actively with our cities and our regions to really imagine and then implement what's possible in terms of mobility and buildings. We've got a pretty low-density land use model. So we have lots of miles driven and pretty significant energy footprint associated with it. So what can our cities do to encourage us to, first of all, be aware of our energy footprint and then begin to use smart technologies, particularly on mobility and energy management in our buildings, to get that energy footprint down? A couple of cities in Michigan have already developed sustainability plans. They're looking at ordinances that change sort of how we think about our land use. You know, it used to be illegal in most of our cities to have mixed-use development where you had commercial and residential in the same zone or even in the same building. That was actually illegal. Now it is the standard for how we design our communities. We want people living and working in the same community because the energy footprint of being able to access your commercial services from your home neighborhood without a car is significantly lower. City of Detroit has begun to explore the idea of 20-minute neighborhoods where everything you need is within a 20-minute walk or bike ride as a way to rethink our land use patterns and the role that smart technologies, new mobility options, and better land use can bring in terms of reducing our energy footprint. So there's a couple communities across Michigan that have done some pretty interesting things. Grand Rapids is a leader in sustainability. City of Detroit has done some really great work in terms of rethinking complete streets and the 20-minute neighborhoods. And then there's the whole process of rezoning and setting up different building ordinances around what's required and what's allowed in order to encourage less reliance on the auto, more reliance on personally owned auto, more reliance on multimodal, less energy intensive uses, and more investment in energy efficiency and distributed technologies that allow us to use our energy smarter and better.
Wow. That's a lot of really great information, and unfortunately we are out of time, but I would love to thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. It's an amazing topic and one that we definitely need to focus on. A couple of things that you mentioned here, especially towards the end, you know, we're already using a lot of these technologies. We already have a lot of the talent needed to help us move forward. We just need to bring that talent together and give them that opportunity to go out and help us move to that next step. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for your part. Would you like to share your website again one more time for those people who want to go out and register?
Sure. It's nextenergy, one word, .org, and then /nextchallenge. And there you'll see everything you need to know about the Next Challenge competition, eligibility requirements, application, and information about the webinar coming up next week, June 9th.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to spend time with your listeners.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. Are you looking for speaking volunteer opportunities, or just want to learn more about MTAM? Visit gomobilemichigan.org or email us at info@gomobilemichigan.org. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great week.